the Lord's blessing on our speaker.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Approach thy throne of grace in the merit of Jesus, our Redeemer, thankful for thy many spiritual blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. Deeply thankful that we can come together, brethren of like precious faith, to this convention and to receive of thy bountiful blessings. We pray now that thy spirit would be in our midst, that we would gain a deep blessing from the talk that we are about to hear. Pray that thou would anoint the lips of our dear brother Gaunt, that he would give us this needed blessings that we need, especially in this day that we are living. Help us that we may be uplifted thereby, that we would be encouraged to press on the narrow way, to walk ever closer to thee. Pray for thy dear brethren the world over, especially those undergoing sorrow and sickness at this time, that we pray for thy blessing upon them according to their various needs and in accordance with thine will. Be with us now as we wait upon thee. These favors we do ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We're so very pleased to have our brother Ralph Gaunt with us today. He's come a long way to serve the convention, and so we look forward ever the much more to his message for us. And he has chosen to speak to us at this time on the subject, Wisdom in Giving and Receiving. Brother Ralph Gaunt.
It's a pleasure and a delight in the Lord for us to be in Covina. We bring you the love of your brethren in Jackson, and especially Marjorie Parkinson. Sister Parkinson especially wanted her love sent to you here, given to you. And you know, I had a very, very short plane ride yesterday, and I'll share with you my blessing. So I was on the plane 5 hours, and it seemed like, you know, a short period of time. And the reason was because the Lord set a lady next to me that has lived in the Los Angeles area for 25 years, and she has been taking care of her father for the past 10 years. He had just died of cancer. She'd taken him back to Detroit to bury him, and she had just buried her father. And I got to witness to her for 5 hours. Opened up my Bible and enjoyed myself. So it was a blessing. The Lord gave me a blessing on the plane, for which I'm grateful to him. Philippians 4:19, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And what are some of our greatest needs? Right off the top, we've tried to analyze, and I think some of our greatest needs are for wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. And this is the same spirit that was prophesied would be upon our Lord in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. This is what we need. But my God shall supply all your need. The spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Our subject this morning is really depth of consecration. Depth of consecration, it's an attitude. Our Heavenly Father, God, is our source. And just like the sun, which is the fountain of all light and life upon the earth, so God is our source of all light and all life. This word supply here in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need, is from a Greek word that means to make replete, to cram, to level up, and to satisfy. The meaning to us is that God completely fills and completely satisfies our needs. The blessing which our Heavenly Father gives to us are not small. They're not meager. They're heaped up. They're pushed down. They're overflowing and abundant. His blessings to us are newer every morning and fresh every evening. Ephesians 3:14-19. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What wonderful, precious gift we have, the giving or the receiving that we have, the wisdom in God's giving to us. Can we really comprehend what this means? Can we stretch our minds, stretch our hearts to take in this kind of fullness that the Heavenly Father has given to us? Part of it is to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. The comprehension of God's plan is a precious gift from God. None of us can think for a minute that we discovered it or figured it out by our own wisdom. It's the gift from God. He didn't have to reveal his plans to us. He didn't have to give us the written word. He didn't have to give us signs in the pyramid and the stars and many other evidences of his plan. He didn't have to give us beautiful flowers. He didn't have to do these things. The knowledge of these things is a precious gift from the Heavenly Father, from God. He didn't have to reveal his glorious character of love, his attributes of wisdom and justice and power. But he revealed those things to us as a precious gift because he wanted to give. How is it possible that we can be filled with all the fullness of God? It's a fantastic thought. What a gift. The psalmist gives us a little insight into how we are filled with all the fullness of God. 139th Psalm, 14-18. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Beautiful description of the church, the development of the church. But from another standpoint, the individual new creature. God is our source. Without him, we have no life. The 23rd Psalm is another beautiful description of the source of all our needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then David proceeds to describe what our loving God has done for us and why we are not in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the waters of quietness. God is the only source of quietness and peace. And what a need today in the earth. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is our only real source of knowledge of righteousness. He is our only real source of the path of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is our only source of hope. He is our only real source of comfort. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God is our only real source of nourishment. He is our only real source of help in time of need. He is our only real source of joy and blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is our only real source of goodness and mercy. He is our only real source of life. Yes, God is our source. 36th Psalm, Psalm 36, 7 through 9. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. God is our fountain of life. Yes, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, rebuked the nation of Israel because they had forsaken the fountain of life and preferred instead the polluted waters of Sihor. What will we do with the fountain of life? Our study is about giving and receiving, wisdom in giving and receiving. The interplay between giving and receiving is vital to our relationship to God. He's given us life. Through Christ, he's provided us justification. He's given us life rights. It's a free gift. So what? What's our response? There's a beautiful story in the Old Testament that illustrates what our response should be. It's in 1 Chronicles, 29th chapter. 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. Starting with the 6th verse. This is where David had been told that God would not permit him to build the temple. David knew that his son Solomon would build the temple. However, David got the material together. He assembled the material. David gave much of his own goods. Then David offered the privilege to the people to bring of their silver and gold and precious stones. David asked, "Who is willing to consecrate his services this day unto the Lord?" The response delighted David. For the things that were offered willingly. The people offered willingly because they realized that all that they possessed had been given to them by God. They knew that God was their all in all, so they offered willingly. Let's read this account. It starts with the 6th verse in the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy gracious, thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our Lord, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house, for thine own holy name cometh of thine hand, and all is thine own. I am also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me and the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O God, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my heart, unto Solomon my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And the beauty here is the attitude. Capture the attitude. The attitude of David, and the attitude of the people, and the whole surrounding. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful lesson to us in consecration, especially verses 14 through 16. Beautifully illustrates the proper Christian attitude. The attitude of full consecration coming from a thankful heart, a heart that has been filled to overflowing with the goodness of God. All that we have has come from God. We have nothing that we did not receive. And our heart response is to make a willing offering, to do it properly. Sometimes it can be so lame and so broken, but if the heart is right, if the attitude is right, the Lord blesses it every time. If the heart is right. But what are we to offer? The people of Israel brought their silver and their gold and their precious stones. Very few among the Bible students have gold and silver and precious stones. They brought that which was of most value and worth. They gave it toward the building of the temple. What do we give? What are we willing to give? What are we asked to give toward the building of the spiritual temple? Our little all, our little self, little nobodies, and all that would be ours as humans, that we might be a stone in that spiritual temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? On page 405 in the reprints is a classic statement by Brother Russell of consecration. Page 405, one of the most beautiful statements of consecration that we know of anywhere. We'd like to quote it. Submission is a strong word. Consecration is still stronger. Surrender is cessation of resistance. Consecration, a transfer of all we are and have to Christ for active service. It covers person and property, talents and opportunities, and accepts of Christ as leader, manager, friend, and savior, present, active, and efficient in all the minutiae of life. There are degrees of consecration, and even entire consecration is progressive. For new interests, cares, burdens, capacities, and opportunities arise and await disposal, and Christ is revealed in new revelations, making new demands, offering new privileges, and these await trustful acceptance, so that ever and anon, the proposition to devote all to Christ, to receive all of Christ, claims fresh attention. Still quoting, many commit spiritual interest to his care and worry on alone with temporal concerns, aid in business, accept daily grace but doubt respecting daily bread, rejoice in Christ as Savior but fail to apprehend him as a brother, a companion, a present, constant friend. Consecration is not absolutely perfect until the fullness of our Lord is perceived and received, and the fullness of life is devoted to him. For every revelation of Christ calls for new devotion from us. The consecration must be as broad as the apprehension, covering the fullness of Christ and the fullness of man. It's the end of quote, page 405, reprints. We're talking about wisdom in giving and receiving. All that we have comes from God. Our heart's response is to give all that we have to him. And the blessings that he gives to us sustains us for each step of the consecrated way. But then the question comes, well, how far does that go? There's a principle, and it's illustrated in the widow of Zarephath. There's a principle. We'd like to try to see if we can get this principle, because it illustrates the wisdom in the attitude of giving our all. This is in 1 Kings. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, starting with the 8th verse. And the word of the Lord came unto him. This is Elijah. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink it. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. She was poor. She didn't have anything, we would say. She was a poor old widow, we'll say. It's exactly what the scriptures are telling us. Now the principle. Let's try to get this. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. The principle is to give to the Lord first, right, the most precious thing that we have. What is it? Each of us individually, I think, know in our own lives. But that's what the Lord wants. The most precious thing this widow had was that little bit of food that she had, that she could fix it, and that was it. But that's what Elijah wanted. Give first to the Lord. Everything else comes after that. Everything else is secondary to that. The reason the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil never failed is because she had given her all. And God sustained her. Our barrel of meal and our cruse of oil does not fail either. if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Our needs, both as humans and as new creatures, are overruled for our blessing. Not sometimes the way we think they should be, but better. You know, how often things don't work out the way we plan them at all. They work out a whole lot better because the Lord has overruled. The Lord has worked them out. If they worked out the way we had them been planned out, they would have been goofed up long ago. Paul reminded us in Philippians 4:6 that we are not to be over-anxious regarding the cares of this life. For God is willing to supply our needs. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, or be over-careful for nothing. Don't be over-anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This same principle is very beautifully illustrated by our Lord in the 12th chapter of Luke, starting with 22nd verse. Luke 12:22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And we paraphrase this, take no anxious thought or worrisome thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Then the beautiful admonition to the new creation, the admonition to us, and the principle that we're trying to get before our minds as an attitude of heart and mind. But seek ye rather the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Our loving Heavenly Father, our God, is a good God. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be faithful. He wants to give us the opportunity of learning the wisdom in giving our all. He gives us that privilege. You know, I'm sure all of us that are parents, when our children were small, have wanted to teach them how to give, how to give a present so that they could have the blessing of giving. Well, that's exactly what the Heavenly Father is doing with us. He wants us to feel the blessing of truly being able to give of our hearts. And he continually supplies us with the means whereby. Sometimes that means is very meager. Sometimes it isn't very much. It's just like sometimes like the widow of Zarephath. We don't have very much. But the Lord wants what we have first. There's a principle involved. If we can once get that principle and never forget it and put the interests of the kingdom first, we're in for a blessing. He continually supplies all our needs, but he wants us to ask too. He wants us to desire those blessings and to be in the right heart attitude. Luke 11:9-10, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You remember we started out with probably the biggest thing we need, or the most, one of our biggest needs is for need of wisdom and understanding. The scripture we have for that is James 1:5. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all liberally. We can ask for wisdom and expect that the Lord will use the means in blessing and in trial, whatever, to give us wisdom. Yes, God is our source. All that we have comes from his gracious hand. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And you know the beautiful scripture in Romans 8:28. It's especially beautiful in Rotherham. In King James, it's kind of in a passive tense. That all things work together for good. They just kind of, you know, automatically fall into place. But that isn't the meaning. Rotherham, in Romans 8:28, it's God causes, a positive verb. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's a very positive arrangement of by God of our experiences. They don't just, how do they say in computer language, in cybernetics, they don't just kind of to goal seek. It's not that at all. It's a positive working together. Things don't just automatically work together for our good. God causes it. It's a positive action on God's part. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Even the unpleasant experiences of life. Some of us can testify to very, very difficult experiences. Hurts that we receive from others, sometimes even from our brethren, are for the development of a new creation. And the most beautiful example that we know of in the scriptures is probably the example of Joseph. After Joseph's brothers had wanted to kill him, Joseph had the opportunity to bless them. But even so, they were afraid that Joseph really had revenge in his heart. After all these years, after Jacob had died, and Joseph's brothers feared him. But Joseph assured them that all that had happened to him as a result of their murderous spirit was for the ultimate good of all, because God had overruled the experience. There's a magnificent lesson here for us as new creatures in Christ. This, is, to me, is one of the most beautiful scenes in the scriptures. I get a little bit carried away with this every time I go over it. It's in the 50th chapter of Genesis, starting with the 15th verse, 15 through 21. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And may the Lord give us that Joseph spirit to be of that loving character. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, Joseph was not naive. It wasn't that he was blind. But as for ye, ye thought evil against me. Yes, you did. He knew the full truth, but God meant it for good, and that's the principle for us, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And that's the payoff. Isn't that the beauty? for us as new creatures, if we could develop that spirit and live by it. Yes, God is our source. He is all in all to us. He has given us abundantly of His blessings. But what do we have to give? Consecration is not something we did once. It'd be nice, you know, if we could stamp it, say, I am consecrated, and then forever and afterward just kind of automatically be fixed. But it doesn't work that way. It's a daily giving of all that we have, a daily taking up and a daily dying. And that's the hard part. Luke 6:38. Give or consecrate or daily lay down our lives. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. This is the kind of giving our Heavenly Father has done for us. He wants us to learn. He wants us to develop wisdom and understanding and love in this kind of giving. Will we do the same? Will our daily sacrifices be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? Malachi 3:10-12. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now with, here saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. We would like to close with a quote here from the reprint, and I don't know the page number. One sister one time found the page number for me, and I forgot to write it down. But I have taken some editorial liberties with this. Maybe that's the reason I didn't write the number down. But it expresses to me the beauty that, and I don't think it was written by Brother Russell. It was in excerpt in there, but it was so beautiful. And because I am somewhat interested in athletics, and especially in the recent marathon in Montreal in the Olympics. This is in connection with running. Two runners, nearly divested of clothing, stretching every nerve, run side by side along the race course, while all around stand a great crowd of witnesses cheering them on. As they run, the attention of one is diverted momentarily by a shining object that has been thrown onto the pathway. He stoops to pick it up. He loses stride. He stumbles and falls. The other runner presses on, never looking back. He presses every nerve to reach the goal. We also are on a race course, surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and look only to the goal. Shining objects of earthly enticements are too costly. Shining objects of personal pride may cost us too much. How insignificant compared with the prize and the honor at the end of the course. What is in your path? A little worldly praise? Disdain to notice it. At another point, do you see an avenue of wealth? Never mind. It would not be abiding if you had it. Press on. Do you begin to think of some of the weights of value left behind, fearing you will never see them again? Don't think of them. only hope that you will never be encumbered with them anymore. Do you say, I fear this race will be the ruination of me, of all my worldly prospects? Yes, of course it will. So far as having any pleasure in them is concerned, press on. But one might say, there's my reputation right there in the dust. Poor fellow, how sorry you noticed it. It's only the reputation we once had. Don't we know that none of those who are noted racers on this course have any reputation? The greatest racer, whoever stepped on it, made himself of no reputation. Press on. But one says, this awful run will be the death of me. Yes, it will. But we're a poor culprit under sentence of death anyway. And if we undertake to save our life, we will lose it. But run ourselves to death, and we'll have a life that is everlasting and more immortal. Let's not be foolish now. Let's press on. And may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother Ralph, for these helpful thoughts on wisdom in giving and receiving. Brother Gaunt is going to dismiss us now from this meeting and also ask the Lord's blessing upon the temporal refreshments that will be served.
Our loving Father in heaven, we're grateful to thee for thy love and mercy and goodness and kindness and for thy word of truth. We pray thou would help us to have wisdom in the lesson of receiving and giving. We pray thou would give us strength to carry out our vows of consecration. We pray thou would bless our continued fellowship together and bless our temporal provisions, bless anything we can derive from it, and the services and fellowship of this afternoon. We pray in Jesus' precious name.